If you have your Bibles, open them up to the book of Ruth, chapter 2. And I just want to highlight how God works through His Spirit. Didn't send Brother Mark PowerPoint this morning. Oh, I'm sorry. Children's Church, you're ready to go. I'm going to remember that one day. Y'all enjoy Children's Church together. Any of our children like to go, make sure you go and enjoy. Y'all pray for me. I do my best. Book of Ruth, chapter 2 this morning. The way the Lord works, I didn't send Brother Mark my PowerPoint this week. I didn't have time to bring it together. Name of my sermon is the name of the Redeemer. The name of the Redeemer. And just a few moments ago, we sang, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. That's the name of our Redeemer this morning, church, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that's who we're going to preach about this morning with the Lord's help. And I just feel the Lord's presence today. If you have your Bibles, the book of Ruth, chapter 2, looking today, verses 19 through 23, if you could stand with me. Once you have found those, we will stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, if you can and you are able. It says here in verse 19, And her mother-in-law, this being Naomi, said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? When we last left off, we know that Ruth had brought a big old bushel, handful of what she had gleaned in the field of Boaz. And so Naomi, seeing this, she says, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said also unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with this maidens, that they may meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, for the blessings of life. Again, we thank you for the sweet spirit we felt this morning. We pray now, Lord God, as we preach about the name of our Redeemer, that God, all of our hearts and minds might be focused upon Him, Jesus, the one who came and died for us and rose again 3 days later and is now ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father. God, we pray that as your word goes out, there might not be anyone here, Lord, who might be able to resist the conviction and the pulling, the call of the Holy Ghost, but instead that Jesus and through the Spirit might have complete control over everything that's said and done, and that Satan and his demons might be far from us, God. Bless each one who hears, God, and Lord, build us up together to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. We'll begin this morning with the thought, there is power in a name, isn't there? Would you agree to that? Some names can do special things. In my career, y'all don't know a lot about my career probably, but I work for the housing department in the state of Tennessee, and I work with our realtor partners. That's my role. I'm a front-facing individual training and building relationships with our realtor partners so they can help more people buy houses using our mortgage programs that have down payment assistance, low down payment requirement. Y'all have already gone to sleep, right? Y'all, my goodness, that sounds boring, Pastor Josh. Well, it's fun, all right? It's okay. And I get to spend a lot of time with people, go talking to people, training people, speaking to people, which, by the way, I guess I'm okay since that's my vocation, all right? Get to speak and teach in my normal career. And often I try to build new relationships and create new partnerships and work with new people. And when you do that, sometimes there's a little awkwardness. You know what I'm talking about when you meet somebody for the first time and you really just want to position yourself as someone who can help serve them, right? But at the same time, there is, you know, there's some goals that you want to meet. There's some things you want to accomplish. And as you're trying to meet somebody and talk to them for the first time, and you want to just get to know them, but also you want to see if maybe they want to partner with you. It's just kind of a weird little dance you do in real life. And I found that what can help make that go just a little bit more smoothly sometimes is if I happen to know somebody who they know, right? And perhaps we have a mutual friend or a mutual partner, and I just mention that name. And it's often just, you know, like night and day, like they're a little cold, a little standoffish. But when you bring that name of someone that they like, that name of someone that they've worked with in the past, that just changes the whole demeanor, changes the whole mood, right? I call that name dropping. Y'all ever heard that before, right? Sometimes you got to do it. Got to name drop. Because then they can say, okay, well, if you're all right with this person, I guess you can be all right with me. So there's some power, right, in that name. Let me say this. I don't nobody raise no hands, okay? But has anyone ever tried to drop a name to help them get out of trouble? All right? You've seen it, haven't you? In the movies? Seen it in TV shows? Somebody gets pulled over by the sheriff's officer, and they happen to know maybe the sheriff or the chief of police. And so as that officer comes up and asks for the license and registration, they just casually mention, oh, well, you know, I'm good friends with the sheriff. I can't believe I got pulled over today. I must have been a big mistake, right? Miscommunication, right? And sometimes that works. Sometimes it don't, okay? So don't go out of here acting like, you know Preacher Josh, and maybe that'll get you out of trouble, right? That ain't going to help, okay? My name don't have that much power, okay? But there are instances in life, right, where we can try and assume and sometimes succeed at utilizing the power of a name to make something happen or to get something done. We've known for millennia that there is a special power that names can hold. And I've in fact learned just in my career and in my role as a pastor, someone's already said this, I didn't say this, but I found it to be true. A person's name is one of the sweetest sounds that they can hear. If you just mention their name, if you acknowledge and just let them know that you know who they are, that goes a long way of starting a new relationship or creating a friendship or creating a partnership. Here's a little story I heard. You might find this funny. The 200-year-old church was being readied for an anniversary celebration when calamity struck. The bell ringer was called out of town. And so the sexton immediately advertised for another bell ringer. When the replacement arrived, the sexton took him to the steps leading to the bell tower some 150 feet above them. Round and round they went, huffing and puffing all the way. Just as they reached the landing, the bell ringer tripped and fell face first into the biggest bell of all. Boom! Dazed by the blow, the bell ringer stumbled backwards onto the landing. The railing broke loose, and he fell to the ground. Miraculously, he was unhurt, only stunned. But the sexton thought it best that he call an ambulance just in case. "Do you know this man's name?" asked the doctor when he arrived. "No," the sexton replied, "but his face sure does ring a bell." Pastor Josh, that's a bad one. There is some power in a name today. And I'm going to tell you this morning, there is one name that I know that is sweeter than any other name on the face of the earth. It can get more done than any other name. It has more power today than any other name that's ever been spoken or ever will be spoken throughout all eternity. And what I want to do this morning is I want to draw our attention to the name of the Redeemer. We're going to do this through the story of Boaz, Naomi, and Ruth. Have two little points today. First, we're going to focus, number one, on Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. Now, as we begin to pay attention now to this man Boaz in the story of Ruth, we should remember the circumstances that these two ladies had found themselves in. It's been a little bit since we preached on this, so let me just give you a quick review. If you remember Naomi and Ruth specifically, were strangers. Now, Naomi obviously came from the land of Judah, but she hadn't been there in a long time. And so, you know, she wasn't that well known anymore. And specifically, Ruth was a foreigner, was a stranger. Both were widows, okay, which meant there were not a lot of options, a lot of help for people in that situation, in that society, and they were both poor. And so to alleviate their situation, Naomi had instructed Ruth to do all that she could do to go and find a field owned by somebody who might be gracious enough to let her glean a little while so they might be able to eat for a day or so. In her bitter, broken state, Naomi had surely expected very little to come of this. And yet the scriptures tell us that Ruth brought home about half a bushel, which would have left enough food for these women to eat for more than a week. Plus, the Bible says she shared what she had reserved from the dinner with Boaz. I love that. She got a little doggy box, a little doggy bag, and took a little leftovers home to share it with Naomi. And Naomi is dumbstruck at what this woman brings home. Just think of her position. Girl, I told you to go glean. I didn't go tell you to harvest the field, you know. Go find what had fallen by the wayside. You've brought an actual harvest here to our home and to our table. So the big question is, where did you glean? Where did this come from? And the answer, Ruth says, his name is Boaz. His name is Boaz. Now, folks, pay attention to Naomi's response to hearing that name. Immediately, she says, blessed be he of the Lord. Excuse me? Do you remember what we preached several weeks ago? What was it that Naomi had said when all the people gathered around and said, is this Naomi in Bethlehem when she first had arrived at home? Do you remember what it was she said? Don't call me that anymore. My name's Mara, because the Lord's dealt bitterly with me. She was discouraged, wasn't she, that day? She had lived in a season of discouragement that apparently she felt like there was nothing that could free her from it. She had sent Ruth into the fields without so much as a good luck. I'm praying for you. You know, hey, go get it. The Lord's going to provide. I know that we're going to be okay. She hadn't said any of that. She said, just go. Get out of here. Go find us something to eat. And yet, when she heard the name of Boaz, all of a sudden, that bitterness turned to blessedness, did it not? And church, that's what can happen when we hear the name of the Redeemer. She knows this name. In fact, this man, the Hebrew word here, is Golim, G-O-E-L-I-M. That is a special word. That means in the Hebrew, a kinsman, but not just a kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer. Now, what is a kinsman redeemer? Well, we're going to learn more about that as we study through this book. But I'll tell you this just up front. A kinsman redeemer is a near family member who has the power, and apparently Boaz also had the means, to restore the property that had been mortgaged by Elimelech to fund likely their journey into the land of Moab. He's the one who can bring all that back into the family and bring back the wealth and the provision that they need to survive and bring back the possibility of a continued legacy and lineage. He has the power to do this. He has the power to redeem their whole situation. He can change it all. God has not just met an immediate need. That was all that Naomi was expecting. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been so distraught and heartbroken and in trouble that you said, God, just help me. There's just one thing, right? And then God's so good. He's so much better than we can think of and imagine. And He don't just meet that immediate need. He flips the whole situation on its head. That's who the Redeemer is this morning, church. He don't just fix one little thing. He fixes it all. Things you didn't even think about. That's what God can do today. He has the power not to just meet their physical immediate needs. He can fix it all. Now, Naomi, as more of this picture is being revealed, she begins to see and understand that God truly is working together all things for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. Can I just pause right there? I don't know what you're dealing with today. I don't know what the problem is that you're facing, but I am certain, I am confident, I can preach it with the authority of God's Word behind me. God is working together everything in your life for good if you love the Lord and you're called according to His purpose. That's a promise of the Word of God. You can take it to the bank of day today. And I love this. You know, I could write you a check, and depending on how high the check is, it might come back. All right? You know what I mean? I may not be able to back all the checks I could write. But church, the name of the Redeemer today can settle any score. It can back any check. It can redeem any portion. That's how powerful it is today. That's who we're dealing with this morning. Boaz, for the first time in this story, we're seeing him identified as the kinsman redeemer. Now, here's something I want to bring out, and I hope you'll give me just a moment to bring this out. The question here, seeing what's happening now in the demeanor, the life of Naomi, the question is, what changed here? We might be tempted to see this as God changing His mind about Naomi. God seeing the obedience, the faithfulness, the love of Ruth, and saying, you know what? I don't think I'm going to keep on dealing with Naomi bitterly. I think I'm going to change my mind and just treat her well now. If you were not as astute in Scriptures, you might be tempted to make such a statement. But I'll tell you today that that is not what truly has changed in this story. And I know that because if we understand Scripture this morning, we can understand that that simply cannot be the case. Christian, do you know today that God doesn't change? He stays the same. From age to age, time to time, millennia to millennia, nothing about God changes. Richard Hayes. Don't know if you know that name. I was introduced to it for the first time this week. He's a prolific, I'm told, Bible scholar. He's 75 years old. He's coming out soon with a new book written with his youngest son, Chris, who's also an Old Testament scholar. The book is called The Widening of God's Mercy, Sexuality Within the Biblical Story. In this new book, this scholar is apparently going to make the case, and this is a reversal of a position that he's held for his entirety as a biblical theologian, biblical scholar. In this book, he's going to make the case for the ability of individuals prescribing to a homosexual lifestyle to be able to come into the family and kingdom of God without repenting of their homosexual sin and behavior. In the book, we've seen parts of it. Here's a quote. He says this: "We have a dynamic and gracious God who is willing to change His mind, consistently broadening His grace to include more and more people." Now, I can dismiss that outright. You know how I know that's a lie? Because of what I just said to you. And if you doubt me, I'll just read it to you straight from the Word. It's Malachi 3:6. It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." So this man can say what he wants to say, but God's already given the final word on the matter. "I am the Lord, I change not." And by the way, I'm your new preacher, so I don't want to take for granted that y'all understand my positions on different things. But let's just be clear, okay? There is no intellectually honest reading of God's Word where you can walk away and you can say, well, okay, God's totally fine with a homosexual lifestyle, homosexual sin. It is a sin against God. All right? It's abomination, the Bible calls it. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, that doesn't mean God doesn't love homosexual individuals. That doesn't mean that they aren't worthy of our service and care and try to reach them with the gospel that can redeem and save their lives and souls for eternity. God can do that. He does it every day. But it does mean that we cannot affirm their sin and say, well, you're just fine. You're okay. You come on in the church, be a part of the church, be our preachers, be our pastors, and be a part. You can't. Can't happen. Not according to the Word of God, which was written, and it does not change. Take that for what it is. We can say with confidence this morning that no matter what the world says, no matter what people who say they're believers say, no matter what anybody else has to say, God does not change. And so therefore, in this situation, we can say that nothing had changed with God regarding Naomi and Ruth. His plan has stayed the same. Well, something changed, Pastor. What could it have been? Well, I'll tell you what changed. What changed was Naomi's perspective on the situation. Here's what changed, church. How many of you know that the name of your Redeemer makes all the difference in this life? That's what changed for Naomi. It wasn't that God changed his mind about what he was going to do with her. No. Naomi heard the name of the Redeemer this morning. And then she began to put the pieces together. Wait a second. Could it be that actually this whole time, when I felt like God was being so cruel and mean to me, actually could it be that God had a plan the whole time? And now we're coming to this moment where the name of the Redeemer is going to change our lives. Could that be the case, church? It was. That's what changed. And so Naomi, now hearing the name of the Redeemer, knowing the power that it holds, how it can totally rescue these two women from their situation, she's encouraged and her perspective on the whole matter is flipped. Naomi had hope this morning. That's what we're going to finish this sermon on. The concept of hope. Because folks, when you hear the name of the Redeemer, what that brings with it is hope. Hope for you and I. Hope for the lost sinner. Naomi had hope today because, number one, of who Boaz was. He was a near kinsman. He fit the bill. He was exactly what they needed. And not only with that, you know, he was not just a near kinsman. He was wealthy and influential. So he had the means. He could rescue his relatives from poverty and give them a new beginning. But she also had hope because of what Boaz did. It would mean nothing if Boaz, being who he was and possessing the means that he had just simply ignored Naomi and said, well, hey, just leave her to the edges where she belongs, right? But that's not what the Redeemer did. The Redeemer took notice of her. He spoke her name. He gave commandments that she be protected. He gave her access to the best that his fields and his household could provide. He took a personal interest in her situation. Finally, when Ruth shared with Naomi what Boaz had said, that made the biggest difference. What do you mean? He's here. He's got the means. He was nice to you, but are you telling me he said something specific to you? Yes, he said how much he was impressed by what he had done. He's indicating with his words that he's interested in her. Perhaps there's some love there, whether it be romantic or not. There's love there for the kinsman, right? The kinsman redeemer seeing one in such a horrible situation. There's a love there that desires to change that, right? And it was expressed with his words. So all of that now is resulting in hope. Boaz was the name that Naomi needed to hear to remember that God is still faithful, church. By the end of this chapter, her bitterness had turned into rejoicing. But I'll end with this second point, number two. Boaz is just a type of something far greater that was yet to come. Because number two, he points us toward Christ, the living Redeemer. Christ, the living Redeemer. Now, can we just pause right there for a second? Are you with me, church? If you're locked in, if your eyes and mind are on the Lord, if your heart's fully submitted to Him, When I said the name of Christ, did your heart flutter just a little bit? I hope it did. Because now you're starting to connect. You know what? I wasn't in such a different situation. Naomi and Ruth were. My circumstances, no matter what they seem like materially, spiritually, they were just as bankrupt, far worse. But then one day I heard the name of my Redeemer, King Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that name gave me hope. I hope your heart fluttered just a bit. Because that name has power, church, as we've said. It's a special name. It's a great name. This is the name of the one who can restore to you and I what we have lost. He can transform us into the men and women we were meant to be. And when you hear the name of your Redeemer, that should change your perspective on your circumstances. It's hard to be bitter when you know that the Redeemer is for you. Think about it. Shouldn't we who believe in Jesus Christ also rejoice and be happy today? When you consider who He is, what He's done, what He's said to you and I, is there any reason today to feel hopeless? I don't believe there is, church. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has died for us and He's now in heaven at the right hand of God, interceding for us. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, chapter 1, verse 4, He has given us exceeding great and precious promises. No matter how you and I feel today, no matter how down in the dumps we might be sometimes, no matter how harsh our reality is, you can believe and understand and know that where the Redeemer is, there's hope for you and I, if we'll focus our faith on Him. I'm going to tell you right now, this hope that He provides, it's not a worldly hope. Hope, you see, can be a tricky thing. When I became a husband, I learned very quickly that my wife doesn't like to get her hopes up if I'm not going to, you know, meet those hopes. You know what I mean? So if I tell her something, or she asks me for something, and I say, yeah, I'm going to do that, she's giving me a look. She's staring me down. You can't see her. She's staring me down right now. If I give her my promise or I say I'm going to do something, she's asked me for it, and then you know what happens? Can y'all tell? I don't know if y'all know this about me. I'm a little scatterbrained sometimes. All right? I don't know if you can tell that. Sometimes I'm like a dog with a squirrel. You know? And sometimes I forget. Do you know that she does not appreciate that? Well, she said this to me. I'd rather you had not just mentioned it at all, if you weren't going to do it. Make you feel that big. People don't like it when your hopes get up, right? Because right now in the sermon, oh my gosh, Lord help us. There could be some people here in some really dark spiritual places. And the devil, he's trying to sneak in. He's saying, don't get your hopes up. Mm-mm. You've been there before. People have let you down. People betrayed you. Don't you listen to what this preacher's saying. Build that wall higher. Build it stronger. God help them. People have been disappointed in this life. And that's just going to be the case with human beings, because people will let you down. People will go back on their word. Any other name I could throw out today, we couldn't preach with the power and authority, because there's nobody, no matter how good you are, no matter what your integrity is, no matter what your character is, there's always that little chance, right? When the human's involved, when the flesh is involved, right? There's that chance. They might let you down and your hopes would be dashed. But church, I'm grateful today. The hope that I'm preaching about is not based on what I can do for you as a preacher, what this church can do for you as a body, what your deacons or your Sunday school teachers or your husbands or your wives or your fathers or your mothers or your sons or your daughters, your brothers, your sisters. It isn't based on anything that a man or a woman or a human being can do. The hope I'm preaching about today is based upon the life of the perfect, holy Son of God, who has not failed, who will not fail, who will never fail. That's the hope that you and I have today. And so when the hope comes into the picture, because we speak the name of the Redeemer, we can be certain today that it's not just a hope of the world that might fade away or flutter away or be gone. It's a hope that's as sure as I'm standing here speaking to you this moment. That's the hope that the name of our Redeemer brings today. Our hope is an inner sense of joyful assurance and confidence that as we trust God's promises and face the future, we will have His help. He is our Redeemer. And you know that this hope is a gift to His children through the Holy Spirit, who reminds us daily of the promises found in God's Word. Let me just bring this final little part out, and then we'll close. Remember how much I told you that Boaz had allowed Ruth to glean? About half a bushel, right? Half a bushel. That's a lot. That's going to last them about a week, a little bit more than a week. That's a long time. I've been invited over to Sister Tammy's house. She's going to cook us dinner, lunch, she said. I'm not expecting any more than just one meal. That'd be a little bit greedy of me if I was expecting her feed me for a week, just come on her house one time, right? Eventually, that half bushel for Ruth and Naomi, that's going to run out, right? And then they're going to be back in the same situation. But you see, the name of their Redeemer carries the hope with it that half bushel, just the first fruits, just the first part of all that's going to be done that's good for them. And as we read and continue with this story, we're going to know what's going to happen. Eventually, Ruth, Boaz, are going to develop a relationship. They're going to fall in love. That property is going to be redeemed. Naomi's going to be restored. A child will be born who will, by the way, spoiler, give birth to another child who will change the world. It's just that little half bushel may not seem like a lot, but it's the first fruits, right? This is the first part of the promise. More is coming. You continue hoping. Now, church, here's where it gets real good, okay? This is where it gets real good. We've preached today about the presence of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said that when I leave you, I'm going to send you a comforter. It's going to be the Holy Ghost of God. He's going to dwell inside you. He's going to be your comfort. He's going to be your help. He's going to confirm to you, minister to you that the promises of my word are true. But do you know that Holy Ghost living in you, that's just the first part. That's just as great as the Holy Ghost is. That's one day, church, do you know that our hope is that we'll dwell in the very presence of God in heaven for all eternity? The songwriter says after 10,000 years, that'll just be a little time for us to enjoy and reap the whole of God's bounty. As good as the Holy Ghost is, church, believer, Christian, if you have felt the touch and the power of the Holy Spirit, as good as that is, that's just the first part that the hope of our Redeemer brings. There's so much more coming. The Bible says we would not be able to comprehend what's coming for those that believe in the ages to come, the eons, the countless millions upon millions of years and beyond we're going to spend in heaven together. This today, what we're feeling, what is speaking to us, it's just the first part. In the name of our Redeemer, powerful today. Doesn't it have hope today? Christian, pray. Here's how I'll close. As we close, I wonder this morning, whose name is on your lips? Because that matters, don't it, church? You can have a lot of different names that you're seeking help from today, but I'm telling you, if you're not lifting up the name of Jesus this morning, you're missing out on the best help you can get. As we've discriminated today, demonstrated today, there is power in a name. And there is one name that has power over all others. Let me just share this little illustration and then we'll close. You know, there's a chilling story recorded in the book of Acts. It's an event that took place in those chaotic, exciting, and remarkable days of the early church. It's found in the book of Acts chapter 19. I'm going to read it to you. It starts in verse 11. Listen to this story. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, the apostle, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. That's what, just from Paul, this happened. It says in verse 13, Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And listen to verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are ye? Who are you? I don't know who you are. And then it says, the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Church, I'm telling you today, there is an enemy. It is the devil. He was defeated at Calvary. Along with him, death was broken. Sin was overcome. Our hope today is that we have nothing to fear left in this world. We have the hope of Christ, bought by His precious and holy name. But church, that's the only name that we can call upon today and have that assurance. That's it. That's the name of our Redeemer. And anything else that we want to put our trust in, that we want to put our focus on, these are lesser things. You and I need to remember, in the bitterness, the brokenness of our different situations, God has not changed. He is who He's always been. And if we will just listen for the name of our Redeemer, we can be reminded that there's still reason to rejoice today. Amen? That's what the name of the Redeemer will do. So as we close, here's what I'm going to ask you again. In this world, it matters whose name is on your lips. It matters in what you believe about that name. Have you spoken the name of the Redeemer? Have you believed on Him for salvation? I'm going to end this just a little differently. Do you just want to worship that name this morning? I sure do. It's a good name. It's a glorious name. I want to sing this one little verse with you. Will you sing it with me if you know it? No music. But I think you've heard this. And if you have believed on Christ today, sing this like you know something about it. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Listen to this. This is the truth. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Listen, kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, can you say amen this morning? He can change your circumstances, church. Go out of this place rejoicing.